This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app and you'll get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Welcome to the My Old Man Said podcast. I'm your host, David Michael. Joining me for on what formerly was the Losing Streak podcast. Now it's a...
It's a one-off nil-nil podcast.
As Villa rack up their first away draw of the season. Bit of a collector's item there. Joining me to discuss that and more, Mr. Phil Shaw and Mr. Chris Budd.
Hello.
Welcome.
How are you doing?
Not too bad. Day trip to London yesterday, actually.
Lovely.
To see an old friend. Nothing much to report back, though. Just wanted to talk about what happened to you last night. Sounded like you were beaten up by the invisible man.
Well, I did a gig. Gig went averagely, as it was, you know, in between the two bank holidays. Bit quiet, but
cut
fine.
Cut to the chase.
Went a cropper outside the venue and smashed my hand, my elbow, my shoulder, my hip and my knee. Bit of a bloodbath, but all good now.
So you didn't bleed out?
No, sorry to say. You're still stuck with me for now.
Phil Shaw, how are the downloads of your Amazon book going?
Badly.
It's like Partridge. It's going to get pulped digitally.
Yeah, can you pulp it digitally? Well, I might send an email to Amazon to see if there is such a
process.
Is there
an app for this?
You can just convert it into a paperback version, which you can gift to people, but I haven't even forced that upon anyone yet.
Why would you want to do
is
that?
Is it fully illustrated?
Well, you should. Come on, you need to get on the front foot here and hard sell it. This is your opportunity.
Oh, you can't hard sell this. It was written for a bet, and I thought to myself, it's still sitting there, may as well put it on free again for the weekend.
It's not
free anymore. Time's passed.
Ah, right. Okay. Well, anybody rich out there, go to PRS Game on Twitter, and I'm sure you'll be able to root it out. Is it any good?
Tumbleweed.
Obviously not. Right, moving on. See, you got to get it on the front foot. You got to be a salesman, Phil Shaw. Come on. I'll start again. Well, is it any good?
It's as good as Leon Bailey.
Oh, God. He's not a very good salesman, is he, Chris? Right, coming up in the show, we're going to try to sell to you a 0-0 against Leicester as the greatest game ever that's taken place featuring Aston Villa. That's what we'll try to do on the show. Also, there'll be the Villa news, as well as the 3 points and the obligatory media muppetry of the week. Time for some news. Should we talk about Mike Tyson getting stuck into a passenger on a flight that he was taking, or the Villa news?
Well, reluctantly the Villa news, but I mean, we've all been there on a flight where you've been sat next to an absolute knobhead that you want to give.
Yeah, this is the thing.
It's first world problems, isn't it?
The guy was a fucking knob, the guy behind, and it's one of those where they just treat the known person is like some kind of freak show and object, rather than you don't really want some jackass after you've said yes to having your photo taken, then you don't want him like lingering around like a bad smell. Anyway, Villa news it is. Nothing groundbreaking in the Villa news. The glue factory. I think they've got a new generator for the glue factory because Bertrand Traoré could be heading there. Morgan Sanson could be heading there. I think Courtney Hall's probably a genuine injury there because obviously under Gerrard he signed a new contract. But the other two, looking good for them, is it?
Nah.
No.
You've got to start losing patience, haven't you, with these guys when they keep getting knocks? It's like, you just think, what are they doing?
In a season where it's like petering out, so you've actually, if you put a shift in training, you'll get a shout. And, you know, Sanson's had a chance, and both of them are like, they're just not up to it.
No.
And we're speculating here, but sometimes in these cases, you don't know if it's a real injury or if Gerard's just said to him, look, you guys, you don't feature in the big plans, so I'm not going to...
Take the weekend off.
Well, no, it's like a bomb squad scenario, really.
Mm. And Traore was able to go across and get a business diploma in the off break there.
He's doing something productive with his time.
But I can't see much of a future for those guys. I don't. When they're flaking around like this, it doesn't really fit with a manager who wants to instill belief and determination and a whole different kind of mentality.
And ultimately a manager that didn't buy them, so he has no vested interest in them.
Yeah, he wants dedicated infantry for the battle ahead. Lucas Dean, though, may feature in the last day or last game or two, because there's a bunch of games. They're all bunching up.
Yeah,
at the end
got a load,
there, so,
haven't we, coming up?
So if he is anywhere near fit, he might. I think it would be a boost for him just to get some minutes. I mean, any injured player that's out for a few weeks at least, just to be back is.
I'd imagine he's been pretty frustrated since his move.
Seems
like a nice enough guy, good player. We just need to get him fit, good pre-season under his belt, and bed him in and get him settled in the area. I'm sure he can be a big player for us.
Crystal Palace getting knocked out of the FA Cup in the semi-final means there won't be any further rejigging and messing around with Villa's fixtures until the end of the season. So I think every date in your diary is now locked in. I mean, there's only 3 weeks to go, but it's been a crazy season for fixtures being shifted around.
So yeah, Palace will be the middle of, is it 3 in 9 days? I believe it is, something like that.
Yeah. Meanwhile, Aston Villa well, it was kind of last weekend, but they're celebrating 125 years of the Holt. Just before we came on air, we were just looking through their website, and we came across the 125 memorable Villa Park moments. So just having a look at them, and what have we got here? Number 84, in July 1987, over 16,000 people attend a two-day Jehovah Witness convention.
That's a lot of doors getting knocked on, isn't it?
What else have we got? 125 memorable moments.
82, Gridiron comes to B6 in August 85 as we host the British Super Bowl. London Ravens in the local derby against the Streatham Olympians. 45-7, David, I'm sure you remember that one.
No, I don't actually, at all.
I like number 37 there, when you can see the early set-in of poor atmosphere at Villa Park. A 19-2 goals win over RAF Lichfield in 1942 is the highest score ever recorded at the ground, although the match is only watched by 800 people.
Empty seats, my lord.
Fickle.
73, an electronic scoreboard is used for the first time at the match against Liverpool in January 1981. What about memorable moment, 86? One of the 480-foot-tall floodlight pylons is dismantled in 1989 as the club switched to lighting along the roof of the stands. Now, surely we've had better moments than this at Villa Park.
Especially in the 80s, when, considering we won European Cups, Super Cups. I mean, they were in the list, obviously, but...
So we're jesting, but I'd like to see a bit more silverware, and as in memorable moments on the pitch, rather than...
I mean, even the last one, they got it wrong.
Stuff.
Stephen, number 125 of 125. Stephen Gerrard's reign at Aston Villa as Aston Villa head coach begins with a 2-1 victory against Brighton. Now, Martinez will be glad of that, clean sheet. Thank you very much. So, well, it was 2-0. Come on, guys, let's get it right. It only happened a couple of months ago.
Yeah, the memorable moments are so far and few, it seems, that they can't even remember. they're clutching at straws.
Details,
and they can't even,
details.
Can't even remember like a Gerrard win. On his debut fixture.
Can you?
My favourite one, though, is, and this is, this is good information, joking aside, Barry White becomes the first pop star to perform at Villa Park when he appears here with his Love Unlimited Orchestra in the summer of 1975. Now, that's proper memorable Villa Park moments. Right, let's have some media muppetry, shall we? Phil, what's in the media muppet trough?
Well, I don't think it's a big surprise this week. In a week where Gary Neville had a detailed and informative chat with Stephen Gerrard on his Overlap Sky Sports show, it's the return of the battery hens of Birmingham Live or the Birmingham Mail. The first thing I saw on social media was Aston Villa boss Stephen Gerrard details, and then in inverted commas, open Jurgen Klopp chat about Liverpool return. And then better than that, they just tacked on like a shocked emoji face at the end.
So this is the usual clickbait social media trick of the head exploding emoji or the shocked emoji to make you go, oh my god. So basically they are pointing out that this headline is all about, does this mean that Gerrard's leaving? He's having words with Klopp to like take over at some point. And you just think, I know this is from the fucking Gary Neville interview. Without even clicking on it, I know this is from the Gary Neville interview where he's talking about when he went away to America and then obviously came back because he wanted to be a manager and the chat with Klopp. What do you think the steps are? And it's the whole, you know, taking over the under-18s. Where Klopp said, if you're under 23s, I might kind of interrupt because I might want players here and there. But if you just take over the under-18s, then you'll be undisturbed. Do whatever you want. Try things out. You know, it's a good kind of sandbox to learn. And there is a reason why Aston Villa haven't offered up a player interview with Birmingham Life for over 3 years now. And also, you'll notice like other clubs, managers, press conferences on social media and various newspapers using it. But there's two that the PA, Press Association, aren't allowed to offer up on their feed. And that's Newcastle. And I believe that was to do with Mike Ashley and the local press. And Aston Villa, mainly because of the club's ongoing dispute with Birmingham Live and how they go about journalism. So that tells you all you need to know. Right, 3 points. First point. When's Barry White coming back with the Love Love Unlimited Orchestra? First point, Gerard Piqué, the old Barcelona boy, has been caught up in a bit of a sports washing storm. What's the story here, Mr. Shaw?
The story is Mr. Piqué has allegedly made a lot of money in brokering the deal that took the Spanish version of the Charity Shield to Saudi Arabia instead of being held in Spain. I think there was another option. It could have went to the USA, but his sports company Cosmos has, in the contract, they have earned a reported $4 million for each of the 6 tournaments to be played in Saudi Arabia from 2020.
All right, so it's a long-term multi-game deal.
Right, wow. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I thought it was a one-off thing.
I mean, I'm 100% behind the whole idea of let's take football to Saudi Arabia and Qatar and other places in the world. And, you know, that's all nice and genuine, but none of this is about that. I mean, you look at the size of Qatar and you look at all the big countries around it and, you know, also in Africa around that, they've never seen the World Cup. And it's all about money. It's all about sports washing. It's all about people lining their back pockets. I mean, this game is corrupt as hell. And the only reason let it get away with it is because we've all got our head buried in the sand because it's like we've got our own problems. The football authorities, just they're all in on it, so it's never going to change.
Yeah, Piqué claimed it's been taken out of context. He said, I know how to separate what is a commercial agreement from what I have done all my life, which is to play football. I never received any help. He said he brought an opportunity to the Spanish Football Association, the RFEF, before changing the format. He said they earned €120,000 for the competition. Afterwards, they earned 40. So there's no remorse or anything. It's like, look how good a job I've done.
Oils the machine, doesn't it? And helps send Shakira over there as well.
Don't bring Shakira into this. She's innocent.
Her hips don't lie.
She's innocent. Point number two, the City Group have failed in their latest acquisition attempt to add another football club to their roster. It wasn't Aston Villa, was it? It wasn't Wes and Nassif trying to get rid already.
Can't be doing with these 0-0 draws. That's it, we're selling.
They were more concerned with the 4-game losing streak, I think, that triggered the deal. Sorry, who is it? What country are they from?
NSA Breda are Dutch, aren't they?
Yeah.
Do you believe?
Yeah.
So the fans obviously protested. They didn't want Man City being anything to do with them.
Why not?
They didn't want to be like a destination for sort of like loan players and lose all their identity. They want to be their own thing. And the fans have a golden share there, so they can veto this stuff.
Because it would have been the fifth acquisition, wouldn't it? Because they've already got a Spanish, French and Belgium team under
the city. And obviously New York. As well,
Yeah, that would have been their 11th in total, but the 5th in Europe, so...
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I thought the best bit of it was the NAC fans actually held up a banner outside the Etihad a few weeks ago saying, stay out of our territory. NAC is not a City Group story.
They voted Brexit. Brexit from City. Point number three, Oldham fans delay relegation with pitch invasion.
Seen this before.
This was against Salford, wasn't it? Because old Gary Neville was watching that. That's where I saw a tweet pop up.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's Oldham Athletic have become the first side that have played in the Premier League, established 1992, to lose their league status despite the relegation being delayed by a pitch invasion. The match was in the latter stages when the fans didn't like losing 2-1, so they just invaded the pitch and got it. Well, first of all, they got it abandoned, but then the decision was made to play the final 12 minutes behind closed doors.
Right.
So the results stayed the same, 2-1 to Salford, and that's Oldham's first time they've dropped out of the Football League in 115 years.
That's bad.
I was going to say, I've just seen you've mentioned it at the end there in the notes. I always remember Oldham actually...
They foxed us in there right at the end of the season when we lost the
Remember that? I mean, that was just, cringe-worthy. I mean, they beat us a couple of times around that end, time. Ron Atkinson had a problem with them, it seemed. Mm. But I always remember that day of when Palace beat Liverpool 4-3 in the FA Cup. I think that was the first one. And then United played Oldham, I think it was 3-3.
It was over to dead. It was when it was back when they had like replays, didn't they?
Yeah, because Earl Barrett played and he was brilliant because he was against Hughes. I mean, admittedly, they conceded 3 goals, but it wasn't his fault. He was really good, but he was playing centre back, and because we had Teal and McGrath, he never really had a proper stab in that position, and he was always just looked a bit awkward at right back. But he was there mainly because he was so athletic,
And was brilliant in the 94 final, wasn't he? Obviously dealing with. Yeah, it would have been Giggs, wouldn't it? Obviously running at him down the left.
Yeah, sorry, we've taken what is a story about Oldham and made it all about us.
Good.
This is what these people do, like when like a player leaves the club, there's a picture of them and the player on their social media. The story's meant to be about the player leaving, not making it about you. Or somebody dies, somebody puts up a picture of them standing next to the famous person that's died. It's like, well, it's not really about you, it's about the person that's died. Anyway, moving on.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Picture the scene. All of your mates around, you've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Partner this with your team playing champagne football. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. There's nothing quite like a McDelivery. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
What a great point that was.
I mean, let's be honest, season defining. When you can go to the European Conference League semi-finalists...
Exactly.
And get a 0-0, you know you're...
Batten down the hatches and not really give them too much of a sniff.
We're going in the right direction now.
They had 5 shots in that whole game. We had 11. Oof. I can't remember any of them. There's a couple I remember.
I can't remember any of the shots on target. I remember a couple that went off target.
It's kind of these kind of results and performances were kind of bread and butter. And for some reason, because we haven't drawn hardly any games this season... You've kind of forgotten about the, we'll take the point, that kind of result, where you think, yeah, Leicester, you know, half-decent team away from home. It's weird. Or maybe it's just more of a social media thing where football's all about winning or losing, and that's it.
Yeah, and to be fair, I mean, if you just said at the start of the season, you'll beat Leicester at home and you'll go to their place and get a 0-0 draw after the last couple of years where they've been a very good side, obviously won the FA Cup, there's stuff in Europe, been a very consistent side, you'd go, I'll have that, 4 points off Leicester, thank you very much.
Because to give you some context going into this game, we'd obviously been 2 weeks without a game and slipped down the league because we had a 4-game losing streak. Now, the 4 games in that run, individually, you wouldn't be surprised losing them. You know, you've got like decent Wolves team away, get beat by them, it's like... It can happen, no problem with that. Spurs, Arsenal, both gunning for that top four. Our record against Spurs is horrific. Despite a recently decent form against Arsenal, we've really struggled in recent history, shall we say, like if you're looking at decades. And West Ham are probably, you would consider the best of the rest outside the top six at the moment. So in isolation, no. So people were getting a bit antsy and starting to want Gerrard out and all the usual BS. But you're just like, well, hold on. This we're not going anywhere this season, up or down. So let's just give Gerrard the time, because this is our, you know, it's our best bet I think we've got. Because if Gerrard doesn't work out, and this is somebody who's desperate to be to see achievement and to stamp himself on the game, because a lot of his peers from that golden generation England team who are now managers are struggling, and they've got kind of all different kind of adversity. But at the moment, he's the one that doesn't need Botox as well. David Beckham.
Ah, yes.
What is he doing? Unbelievable. I saw that Tyson Fury good luck message, and I thought, oh God, you really are thick. Jesus. I mean, he hasn't got any eyes left, for starters. But yeah, no, so he could be the, you know, the one out of all those guys in terms of football, in terms of the management, could be seen as a success. And I think we've got to hitch our wagon to that, and that's our best chance. Because if he doesn't work out, then we're just going to get some average manager, you know, maybe some experiment from Europe who's had a good couple of seasons in Portugal or something, and our chances of being the best of the rest, and then, which is what Perslow said is our immediate objective, and then kicking on from there, are diminished. I think this is our best stab. You know, before we had that Roy of the Rovers potential narrative with Smith and Grealish, and the emotions involved with that might have unified everything and given us a crack, but you know, there's a lot of ideology in that, and wishful thinking to a certain extent. So this is a season. What's left of it is we're not getting trying to manifest relegation as well. It's embarrassing. It's like, just let him get on with it. We're not going to win anything this season. We're not going to get relegated.
Well, it's still, I think it's fair game to ask questions, but there's levels of overreaction, isn't there? And I think, the fact that Newcastle are above us is like, it's fair game to go, hang on a minute, what are they doing right that we've done so wrong when they were so far behind? That stuff's fair. But when people are going, oh yeah, we're going down, we're fucked, you're like, no, we're not. It's a bumpy ride, just get over it.
Yeah, no, that's what I'm talking about. Anyway, lineup. Went for Bailey again for the away game. He used that against Wolves, didn't he? A similar setup.
He did, a bit of pace on the break, or not that much pace on the break, as it turned out. And obviously, Ashley Young in for the injured Dina.
Yeah, which obviously is the only option, really. A very youthful-looking bench. I mean, we're not going to really talk about this game much, because ultimately,
it was shite.
Oh, it was awful.
In Match Club, my old man said patrons gather for Match Club on the away games that we don't go to. We do like a live podcast before the game, and then we come in again at half-time, and then we finish off at the end. But at half-time, we just carried on talking, didn't we? It's a free-for-all
podcast. Because there was nothing to watch.
Everybody joins in, and
it's good crack.
Because there was nothing to watch, we just carried on talking.
You know, Villa have been scratching to get some form against the Leicester side, who've played a lot more games over the last couple of weeks than us, because they've had European commitments and played league games in midweek, etc. So you could tell that they'd rotated. They obviously had the big game against Roma coming up, which for them is a big game, European semi-final. So they'd have had half an eye on that, and you could sort of see that in their selection as well, where you looked at their bench and you thought, wow, there's some real heavy hitters on that bench.
Yeah.
And I think they lack that little bit of extra energy and verve that you'd sort of normally expect from a Leicester side.
Yeah, it was one of those games that it's not as good as it's being made out by the Villa media afterwards, but at the same time, it isn't a smash and grab nil. It's not as bad as being made out by some online as well. It just is what it is.
It's just a very nothingy game, really. Neither keeper really had a big save. Villa probably had the biggest chance with the Bailey one in the first half, where you should be making the keeper work, and if you do, you probably score. Yeah. But
I mean, Watkins really did really well in that situation, and he was determined and showed a lot of endeavour and aggression in, but he did extremely well. And then Bailey was just a bit too casual.
Which seems to be the thing.
He wasn't on the same wavelength, because if he had the same attitude as Watkins had just shown, he's rifling that into the net. He's running onto it, not just standing there and waiting for it to come to him.
Yeah, and you pass it in the bottom corner with a bit of conviction rather than sort of throwing your leg at it and it sort of sails over the bar. But that was the biggest chance. And obviously, Coutinho had a reasonable innings. We had openings. I think Buendia had a great effort in the second half as well. Watkins had another one, but never really what you'd call like big chances that you gilt edge ones that we should be burying, I don't think.
Yeah. And they only had two shots on target as well. I mean, they had a free kick, which,
Martinez to save, wouldn't you, that one?
Yeah, normally he'd catch that in his early days, but he's probably, as you said, bored, and he just wanted to parry it out, see if get a bit more action in.
He fancied doing a scorpion kick, but didn't want to take the piss. But I don't, again, I'm sure Gerrard, on the face of it, you go, well, we've come away from home. You take the 0-0, which is fine. It's acceptable. I think it calms everyone down a little bit going into the Norwich game. But you don't come away from it massively inspired either. I think it's good that he finally gave young Irogbenham a chance, who I thought looked pretty good when he came on, very solid, composed. I thought Buendia, yet again, coming off the bench, looked really good. I think at some point it might be worth starting him from the start instead of Coutinho, perhaps, if they don't think he's going to, you know, be there next year. I don't think Coutinho can be undroppable. I don't think anybody can at the moment.
Well, I don't know. Never mind Coutinho maybe not being here next year. He wasn't here in this game, really.
Well, he's not. It would appear he's not an away from home player, is he? Really, other than
can
that
we,
Leeds
can we
game?
Pay him half the wages?
Yeah,
just
tell you what. I think there should be a unique deal for Coutinho. I've just worked this one out. It's pretty good. We get him for all our home games, and Newcastle can have him for all their away games.
I was thinking maybe you
split
you
the costs.
Him, yeah, maybe you pay per touch game, because if you want to do the direct comparison between Coutinho and Buendia, Coutinho in his time on the pitch had 24 touches. Buendia in his shorter, much shorter time on the pitch had 18.
He got involved, didn't he? To be fair, he's a busy little player.
To be exact, Coutinho went off after 78 minutes, so Buendia played 12, and then whatever there was, there was about 7 minutes.
And obviously, nice to see Nakamba, you know, get a few minutes. It would have probably been nice to see him get a few more, but you'd hope.
But it
that
was
that
interesting,
might
though, wasn't it? And I said this in Match Club that
Irogbenham came on first, didn't he?
Yeah, came on first for Louise, because normally the natural switch is, you know, either Nakamba on for Louise or Louise on for Nakamba.
Especially when he needs the minutes to get him back match fit.
Yeah.
Well, Irogbenham, he is a physical presence. You can see that. I mean, even when he's standing beside the other Villa players, width and height, he just dwarfs most of them apart from Mings.
Yeah.
Which is a good sign moving forward if he can, you know, continue.
Because it was noticeable, like after, you know, you see him come on and then, you know, you're getting caught up in the action. And then the next time you see him, you go, wow, suddenly, who's that?
Yeah.
Who's that beast in the middle of the park that we've got all of a sudden? But it was, I mean, it's like a 6 out of 10 performance, isn't it? But ultimately, I mean, I'm not him, the whole team. But
it's acceptable.
Ultimately, we can't, I mean, because, you know, there's podcasts, there's people want to talk about something. We're not all judging Villa in the context of, right, what have they shown this, you know, what can we see from this game? This is not all the be and end all of Steven Gerrard. This is like actually one of the core factors we've been looking for.
Mm.
Is just to be able to play, let's say, functional and get draws, get results.
Absolutely. Gerrard said that post-match. It's something my friend, I've mentioned before, Dan, who sits next to me, has always spoken about this. You notice it more when you're in the Championship because you have that regular sort of turnover of games. But if you can get into the habit of not losing, you can put those long runs of games, like Man United always used to when they were winning titles and stuff. It's like if they couldn't win, they'd always make sure they got a draw. You take the 0-0, you're 2-0 down, you get a 2-2. Like, it's that thing we haven't done much this season. Gerrard said it, we haven't done much grinding out this season.
But never mind, you know, winning titles or whatever. It's just to get solidly in the middle of the table.
Well, it's
but
accumulating
also as,
points.
But never mind even points. It's as a team, it gives you that solid base to build on, and then you can start developing your patterns of play going forward or whatever.
Yeah, I mean, we were reasonably good, weren't we, without the ball, I thought. I didn't think Leicester sort of troubled us too much.
Yeah. No.
I mean, Ashley Young was a workhorse today. I mean, he had the most touches of anybody in the Villa team. And
put his body on the line as well. Jeez, he must have gone down about 4 or 5 times in the game.
Just playing proper, I don't even want to say proper football, that's a bit disrespectful, just sensible football.
Percentage
just,
football, isn't it? As Davis
percentage
said,
football.
Percentage.
Mm-hmm.
But that's what you want to see. That's the kind of attitude that's going to rinse out draws out of games that perhaps, you know, expecting, you know, to get anything or you're not doing anything at the other end.
Yep.
But the boxing is on, Fury and White, and I must dash, I'm afraid. So before we disappear, I mean, there's not much to talk about really in that 0-0 draw, apart from big pluses in terms of Villa being a bit more, showing a bit more resolve, which they'll need to if they're going to be any success. And so that's a box ticked and a step in the right direction. As we mentioned in the Villa news, a bit concerned about those injuries, whether it's a bomb squad situation and not real injuries, but that opens up maybe a quicker path to have a look at some of the younger guys once. I mean, if we beat Norwich, I think that's as safe, I would imagine, and then maybe you can try a few more things out, Mr. Gerrard. Before we go, just big shout out to the My Old Man Said patrons, and especially the new kids on the block. Shout out to David Trims. I hope that's the right pronunciation. James Kelly, Chad Jobbin, and to the annual subscribers. If you sign up annually, you get 15% off, which is 2 free months. Mr. Max Stokes, who you may know. He appears on the show, also from Villa on Tour. And Jonathan Stackhouse as well. Stackhouse, were you in True Blood? That's the surname of Sookie Stackhouse, is that right?
Not sure.
So I've just flagged myself up there as somebody who watched True Blood.
Oh dear.
Better get off and watch Fury then.
Right, if you join us as a moment said patron, you get access to Match Club, where we all join up, offer each other therapy, but also it's like a live podcast on game day, on mainly the away games nowadays. But also you get access to the extra podcasts we put out as well, which will be evolving to be kind of a regimented thing in the future. I'm also potentially making a move to offer up ad-free versions of the main show as well to all patrons as well. That's something that will definitely be coming in, I think, after the season ends. So please do go to myoldmansaid.com, click on the Patreon link and check it out there, and sign up and join us. Also, if you are a big fan of the show, do drop us a review on Apple if you listen on Apple, and you know, give us a rating on Apple and Spotify and all that kind of stuff. That helps get the word out there and triggers the algorithm, etc., etc. Please do give it a retweet and follow us on at My Old Man Said, which is a separate account from my actual account. And anything else, gentlemen, and nothing that continues for 15 minutes?
Not from me. Not from me
right.
This week.
What were you going to say, Phil?
No, I was going to ask a question, but sure, wouldn't know what happened last time, so no, I'm all right as well.
Yeah. Good, no questions. Until Mr. Gerrard versus Mr. Smith,
part
it's
two.
Goodbye from me, and it's goodbye from them.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximize your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.